Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
What's up, people? This is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj Know-It-All, and I'm joined once again, just like every Tuesday night, by Eastside Jam, ATL's number one fan. What's going on, man?
Not much. What it do?
Oh, man. Not much, man. I've been stuck on NBA TV watching all this draft stuff, and then I got caught up in the 30 for 30. So I've been in front of the TV the last 2 hours, bro.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that, man. I was trying to get home to catch the 30 for 30. I didn't know it was 2 hours.
Well, I don't know if it was 2 hours, but between that and NBA TV, I've been on stuck, man, sitting on here on the couch, bro.
Yeah, it's still on.
Oh, okay.
30
okay.
for 30.
Man,
I got some things on DVR, man. You saw the one last week, OJ?
Nah, I missed last week.
Oh,
but wait a minute. Did you say OJ?
Yeah, they did.
As in Orenthal Simpson?
Orenthal James Simpson. Yeah, that's him.
Damn, why'd I miss that, man?
Yeah, they did it on that day. It was so much stuff going on that day, you didn't even know it, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was OJ. You know, you had the World Cup starting in Chicago. You had Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 30th home run on the 17th of June. You had
NBA Finals.
NBA Finals Game 5. You had the parade for they had just won the Stanley Cup up in New York that same day. And all this
was
going on.
That's the Messier joint, right? The Messier joint?
Right. And then you had there was one more thing that was going on that was huge. On a Palmer last round at the U.S. Open.
Okay.
Yeah, that probably would have been the biggest thing had that not happened.
So how was it, man? Describe what was the big points of it.
It was just really showing footage the other day. They didn't have no commentary, no nothing. Just showing footage of everything and, that went on that day, man. It was actually interesting, man, to hear some of the phone calls, when OJ was in the back of the truck talking with the police and seeing how many helicopters was out there that night, how many people running down the street. And then, in the middle of it, they had footage of, people in the middle of it just running down trying to find their house, It was wild, man. That was a wild day. And to see how many people was into that hockey, man, saying they've been waiting this long for a championship up there, man. And people getting tattoos on them on the Stanley Cup. It was just wild, man.
Damn. That boy OJ, man. So where do you weigh in on that situation, man? Are you one of the people who says he was there or he had it done or... Do you believe his story? You know what I mean?
He had something to do with it. I can't say he did, but he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was probably directing and pointing. He's probably there pointing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Them bad knees, they can't get around too well.
Yeah, man, just to see how he actually went on the run, man, became a fugitive. It was just wild, man.
Yeah. I remember as a youngster, man, I was heated that they was going away from the finals game. I was watching the finals. I was mad.
Exactly. They were showing how Bob Costa was like, okay, what we going to do? He mad. He trying to figure out how we going to do it, what we going to do. He trying to get his shine on.
Right.
And
like only he could do, trying to get his shine on.
Right, trying to get his little shine on when OJ outdoing it.
Right.
It was crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great, though, man.
Okay. Well, I know you're a documentary guy, so I know you're going to watch the one tonight. I'm going
to
tell you,
man. Yeah, I'm going to watch it over. It's on now, so I'm going to have to watch it over. I missed the first 45 minutes of it anyway, so I got it on DVR.
Yeah,
I just want to record the whole series.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. But a good reference would be if you could find the book. It's called The Accountant's Story. It's an account of the whole story from Pablo Escobar's brother. So it's like if you read that and watch the documentary, you'll have a real good understanding of it. Because, man, this stuff is crazy, man. The guy accidentally kicks a goal in. You know what I mean? He's on Pablo's team, so you know what's going to happen. Didn't see that brother no more. Politicians, everybody, man. Pablo was doing the thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just crazy to see, like, you know, somebody from the street have that much power in a country. But I don't know. It's an interesting story, though. But just speaking like you think it, man, we're going to switch it up, man. Usually we talk baseball last. Today we're going to talk baseball first, man. We're going to talk about these Atlanta Braves, man. Was it last homestand 5 of 6?
Yeah.
The newly titled The Godfather, manager Bobby Cox, is getting it done, huh?
Yeah, he's getting it done, man. It's like we got a lot of guys, man. I think their bench is better than it has been in the past. And everybody's still slipping on the pitching. The pitching is second to what we had when we had the big three, you know. It's right up there, man. You got guys throwing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's winning games. I mean, then if they score 5 runs, they undefeated.
Right. That's an amazing stat right there, man.
Yeah, that might break tonight, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're losing 9-3. In the top of the 7, so I think they can put up another couple of runs, so that'll be the first time they score 5 without a win.
Mm. I mean, like you're talking about the depth of that staff, from what it looks like, Kawakami's going to be in the bullpen, and I mean, he hasn't shown himself to be a bad pitcher. I mean, the last outing was terrible, but he hasn't shown himself to be a bad pitcher.
Well, you don't get 9 losses for being, you know, decent either. So, I mean, he ain't been that great, you know. But
right.
So, putting him in the bullpen, to me, I really don't like, to be honest with you, because a lot of his runs, if you watch him, you know, pitch or whatever, a lot of his runs come in the first, second inning. So, if you bring him out the bullpen, and you don't want to get that coming out the bullpen. You want to have something that's, you know.
So he scares you coming out of the bullpen.
Scares me coming out of the bullpen. I mean, are you going to use him like tonight? They look down 9-3, put him in the game. That's when you need to use him. I mean, that's when you need to use him. And you don't need to use him. When other time you going to use him?
Yeah, I guess that's getting the most out of your dollar since you're paying this guy so much money. I mean, you might as well just say, like you said, use them up for innings, less wear and tear on the other guys in the bullpen.
Exactly. Yeah. You got Jersey coming back, then you got Mettman pitching pretty good.
Right. So, I mean, it's looking good for the Braves, man. They're handling their business. The boy Chipper came out, and it looks like that pride on that man's chest made him come out and get a couple of hits this past week, man.
Yeah, like you said, he found something. He shortened his swing up left-handed. He didn't say nothing right-handed. I told you, the right hand is natural. The right hand is natural. He said he shortened his swing. He got tweaked his left-handed swing. The left is what was giving him problems. And everybody think he's looking old. He mechanically left-handed. It's not really like he's natural.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Do you see him kind of turning around, though, the second half of the season?
Oh, most definitely. I don't see no power. I can't see where to say I see him hitting for much power, but I wouldn't be surprised if he get his average back up to 280. He had 250. He was at 250 as of yesterday. I don't know what he did today or what he's doing. I don't even know if he's playing. He might be DHing today. So I'm not really sure. I just really got into the game. Well, I think he's probably DHing today because they got Conrad at third.
Okay. And also, you know, outside of the Braves, the boy Josh Hamilton said he will not participate in the home run derby, you know, even if people want him in there. You think that's a thing of people worried about their swing or whatever, or just doesn't want to do it?
How did he come out the ugly year when he did it? Did he have a bad second half?
See, I'm not sure. I was going to ask you about that. I'm definitely not sure. I should have researched it, man.
But, maybe that's why he's saying that he did fall off, because I mean he had an incredible first half of the year. Then he had the incredible home run derby night and didn't even win it. But I think he needs to participate. I mean, there's just some names in there. I mean, just really get some names in there.
Yeah. Hey, it's baseball showcase. So, I mean.
Exactly.
You want to be like the NBA where you can't get anybody in the dunk contest.
Yeah, it can't be that bad on your swing. You take brand practice every day.
Right.
You know? You take batting practice every day. You're trying to hit them out the park this time, but I don't know.
Yeah. Like I said, man, I wanted to switch it around today. We're going to get a quick show, man, quick 45 and get out of here. But wanted to switch to the NBA, man, a lot of stuff going on. Two trades. 76ers trade Dallenberg for Nocioni and Spencer Hawes, which is a kind of weird deal to go on with Dallenberg being in the last year of that deal. They finally could have got that money off the cap, and they end up making a trade. And today, Corey Maggette was traded from the Warriors to the Bucks for Gadzirich and Charlie Bell. So, you know, I guess a few of you could say that the average NBA guys moved around a little bit. Don't know
I
if
that like
kind of
for the Bucks, though.
You like the one for the Bucks bringing in Maggette?
Yeah, I think they need somebody like that.
Yeah, they need scoring bad, so. You get a healthy Bogut back to go along with Jennings and now Maggette. So,
yeah,
you got more threats.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah. And then the other big story is, man, you know, the rumors about Chris Paul going out there. The new coach for the Hornets has come out and said he doesn't want Chris Paul traded, but I don't know how much say he would have in that, being he's the new coach in there anyway. Do you see it happening? And if so, are we in the running as far as the Atlanta Hawks? You think we could put something together to get them?
I would hope we can, but, I mean, it's – I don't see it, man. I mean, I don't – I mean, the way this NBA is made, man, I hate to say it, but, you know, it's all about teams that's going to make money, man. I mean, you know – I've been saying this all along, even though it may not go down, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers end up with John Wall some kind of way. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even be surprised if Boston, you know, end up with somebody like that, you know, Chris Bosh. You know, it wouldn't put that past me, you know what I'm saying? There is
a big distinction between the haves and the have-nots in the NBA. So, yeah, you're right. A lot of stuff can happen because, I mean, from what the spirit is saying, the Hawks, you know, lost a lot of money last year. So, I mean, people don't want to trade Josh Smith or Al Horford, but, hell, you bring in Chris Paul down here, you might be looking at a different situation financially, so you might have to do it.
But, yeah, we never discussed the Larry Drew situation.
Oh, yeah, man, let me tell you, man. I mean, first of all, in my opinion, it seems like the cost-cutting move, something they wanted to do on the cheap, so they bring Larry Drew in. But then he's talking all this stuff about this new offense he's going to bring and nobody's seen anything like it and all this. Where were you at when you were sitting on the bench over there next to Woodson? So, I mean, I think this is a big mistake. I haven't seen the man coach yet. I'm just going off my gut feeling off the press conference and the little articles I've read, what he had to say. I don't think this is going to turn out good.
I don't think so either. I don't have no choice now but to give him a chance.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, like you said, what was he? But now to me, it seemed like he was a snitch. He was the guy on the bench, like, see what he doing wrong. He doing this, or, you know, after games over talking to front office, look at what he doing.
Right.
He trying to tell him to run this system. He don't want to run it, you know. Like,
right.
He the snitch. So now we got the snitch at the coach.
And I was talking with Barge about this last week, and I said, this was told to me a long time ago by a guy who had somewhat a cup of coffee in the NBA. He said, if you're a new coach in the NBA or a young coach, your assistants have to be older NBA coaches who don't have head coaching aspirations. Otherwise, you got something like this.
Right.
He wants your job.
You lost your job, then they went and got somebody who ain't even had a coach that was under you. Ain't never been a coach, and now he was under you, and they hired him over you and fired you.
Right. I don't know, man. Like I said, it makes no sense. And then why are we bringing in Avery Johnson and all these people for interviews if we knew we were going to hire the guy for the low? If we couldn't spend Avery Johnson money, what's the purpose of bringing him in?
Exactly.
So, I don't know, man. I'm definitely not happy about the hire. If it works out, I'd be pleasantly surprised and happy about it. Hell, I definitely would be happy if it works out.
Now you want to see this offense. Hey, like,
right.
I really want to see this offense. What are they going to run?
Yeah, I'm interested to see it too. But it goes back to what I said before, man. NBA coaching is about motivation and juice. Motivating the players and having the juice to where you can get by the lean times and have that respect. You're not going to come into the NBA and just schematically outdo everybody else in the NBA, because regardless of what you run, they're going to scout the hell out of
it. Exactly.
So, I like I said, I'm not too happy about this Larry Drew situation. Switching to other things, man, the big story right now going on before this draft is the Derek Favors or DeMarcus Cousins situation. Some people like Cousins a little more. Some people like Favors a little more. Where do you sit on this one?
To be honest with you, I really think from what I've seen this year, don't get me wrong, I do think Cousins is a good player. I think he's going to be a pretty good player in the pros. But I don't think he has more upside than Favors right now. You know, what the report that came out yesterday, like I said, I feel like it was a lot of smoke screen. I really think that Minnesota won him at 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we seen Cousins play, we seen Favors play. We ain't seen Cousins with no jumper. Now all of a sudden he got a better jumper than Favors. Favors
yeah.
knocking it down 18 foot.
Yeah.
On the regular. So I mean
also to mention the conditions, hell, you got your boy Cousins playing pretty much with good spacing and NBA players, because two will be drafted in the first, maybe three, we drafted in the first round along with him, where Favors was playing with a team with young freshman guards and another big man kind of clogging things up down low for him.
Exactly. So I think it was kind of a smoke screen. I think Favors really they think he is the better player.
Mm-hmm.
I like Cousins, but I don't think he's a five either. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I know he got long arms or whatever, but unless he's going to stay thick like he is, you know, if he's going to go in there and, you know, lose weight and try and be slim and try and be, he's going to have to bang, man. He's going to have to be like a Perkins type, but a little bit better, score, you know?
Yeah, and that's exactly what he is to me. I think he's a five all day. I don't think he can play the four, just like you were talking about how thick he is and how he moves. He moves like a five. He definitely doesn't move like a four. So I see him as a center. I don't see him as a power forward. But we'll have to see how it goes. And like you were saying, the upside factor is big, though, because you're talking about at worst with Derek Favors. Derek Favors at worst is Joe Smith, who was a decent NBA player, 10-12-year veteran. And at best, he's Dwight Howard. And you
right.
go to the other side, Cousins, hell, his basement is probably Eric Dampier or somebody. And his best is somebody like, you know, it's probably not the demeanor, but the skills of David Robinson or somebody. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, I'm on board with Favors on that one over Cousins just because of what you can get. Like I said, if it doesn't work out, hell, you got Joe Smith at worst.
Exactly. At the worst, so
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting, man. I mean, I just wish the draft was a lot deeper than what it is. I want to see, you know.
Yeah, those days are gone, though, man, because everybody has to leave so fast. Every draft is going to be top-heavy from now on, I think, just because everybody has to leave. I mean, you can't hang around, you're going to mess your stock up. So I don't think people have had a chance to have one of those deep drafts like we've seen before.
Yeah.
Hell, even 03, like something like that.
Well, you might have your sleepers. There's going to be a couple guys that come out of sleep. I mean, you just have guys like that every year who are going to be a sleeper that are going to come in and, you know, play good basketball.
True. True. Oklahoma City got that kid Ibaka the end of the round last year. You know, nobody was talking about that kid. I mean, he ended up playing big minutes for him, and it was a big reason why they did what they did.
Was that Westbrook?
No, I was talking about Ibaka, the big guy, big foreigner. I want to say foreign guy. He might be from here, but he has a African name. He was a center. Played a lot, though.
Yeah.
John Thompson had an interesting quote about Cousins, though, man, because, you know, everybody was talking about his demeanor and his attitude. And John Thompson said, point blank, I like the guy. He said, you can calm down a fool before you can resurrect a corpse. So, I mean... If dude is a little wild or whatever, you can calm him down. But so if he's a guy who can't play or doesn't really have a personality, hell, that's what it is. And it kind of brings me to, I hate to say this, man, but it kind of brings me to Marvin Williams.
Yeah,
not that Marvin's a dead guy, but it's just show some passion, some type of love for the game, a little something.
Really, man, to be honest with you, I tell a lot of people, man, I really think Marvin Williams playing in the wrong system. I just really do. I really don't think it's Marvin Williams himself. I really think it's Marvin Williams. I know a lot of guys are flourished if they had a system that they like to play in or whatever, but Marvin Williams looked like a guy that needs to know his role.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on that. My only problem with it is if you run a system that benefits Marvin, are you doing the best thing for your team? Does he have the talent to where him being one of your go-to guys, he'll be effective? So, I mean, that's the question. We'll only know until it happens.
I like to see him come off the bench at the four, man. I really think he got his low post move, and he'll be probably better down low. I mean, he got the arms, he got the length. Just start rebounding the ball, man, and get in there and make something happen. I mean, I don't know.
Couldn't hurt to try, hell.
Couldn't
hurt to try. Shit, I definitely wouldn't be against it. Let's see. Sports Science did a little quick thing on John Wall, kind of doing their whole comparison thing like they do. And they had him faster than Chris Paul and Darren Williams and some of the other quick guards in the league, you know, going off some of their tests. Does this stuff mean anything?
I think it kind of do. I mean,
yeah.
I like to be honest with you, like, you know, I went to see Wall play in person. I mean, I really think he got it, man. I really think he got, you know,
talent
that a lot of people ain't got. I mean, I never really seen Chris Paul go to the left and put it up with the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy's going to be, he's going to be pretty nice, man. I mean,
yeah.
Going to play for a while.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's Derrick Rose, but a little better at this age than Derrick Rose was. So,
well, after Derrick Rose was a little raw. Derrick Rose was a little, you know, he was just head down, I'm gone to the rack, you know. He got those.
You couldn't do nothing about it.
Yeah, you can't do nothing about it. You couldn't do nothing about it. I mean, I'm putting my head down, I'm going. And, you know, but Wall seems like he know how to pass the ball. He can take it on his own. He can shoot. He can jump out the gym. He got the whole package. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think if you put him on a team where, say, you got a little speedy guy that come off the bench, you can play wall at the two.
Yeah, and play up-tempo, and that'll be pretty nasty there. That idea of him and Arenas running together might be something.
Yeah, you know you're going to see it at times. I mean, it's if Arenas is back the way he was, oh, that's going to be it's gonna be hard, man. And with the young squad they got with Blanche, and then you forget about Josh Howard got hurt.
Right.
He come back. I mean, they got some nice pieces. They really do. I really like their young squad.
Yeah, if healthy, that's an exciting team, man. You're talking about probably 6-7 seed in the playoffs, and that's an exciting team you don't want to see, really, as far as Pittsburgh.
You get Strasburg, now you get John Wall. Man, a lot of this stuff don't never happen to Atlanta, man. That's what I be talking about.
Wait a minute, man. You guys got I want to say you guys, because I'm here. Jason Hayward and Matt Ryan, though, man. Got to say that.
Yeah, I see how you're going for it. I mean, I see how you're doing, you know. I mean,
Atlanta's been blessed the last couple of years. We just need somebody on the Hawks. We need a special talent on the Hawks, man. I think the other two got their guy for a while.
Yeah, I think they got their guy for a while. I mean, but the thing about it is, like, Matt Ryan did come in. He came in hot. He did come in hot. So I give you that. But, I mean, Hayward came in hot. But when you look at what they're doing over there, I mean, you talking about a John Wall. You actually talking about almost taking a team to the playoffs already.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. On his own. I mean, on him.
Right, right. That's true. Yeah. Both of the guys we're talking about, like you said, they got the potential to be Hall of Famers, but everybody got to slow down and wait to see how this pans out.
Right, right. I mean, you got Hayward hitting pretty good. I mean, he's playing good baseball, but they winning as a team. It ain't Hayward done won 50, you know.
Right.
Hayward doing this every night, you know. So we're going to see John Wall making plays every night.
Yeah, that's true.
Strasburg already selling out another stadium.
Strasburg is he's that dude already. And I would say, hey, say what you want, but ever since Matt Ryan's rookie season, the last four games of that year, ever since then, he hasn't played up to that first 12 games of that rookie season.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't at all. But, I mean, I hopefully it all comes back. Because it seems like they're working hard. They're trying to get back to that level. So then they're putting pieces around it to make him be on that level. Then you think about everything that come back. You got Tony Gonzalez. You got a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Right.
Roddy White. And then you're talking about bringing Harry Douglas back. You got.
And the biggest factor to me is Michael Turner. Michael Turner's healthy. That changes everything from that run.
Michael Turner healthy, and you still got the other running back. You still got Snell, and you still got, you know, they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They're really going to be okay. This defense is really going to see how far the Falcons go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have no problem with the offense. I really didn't have no problem with them last year. I know Matt Ryan's kind of struggled. He didn't really do, like you said, he didn't do like what he did the previous year. But you got two games easily. The defense could have, you know, lost.
Yeah.
Defense lost.
Yeah.
So.
But and then as a fan in Atlanta, it's like last year you couldn't complain about the defense because it had to be done. You had to bring in all those young guys. You had to rebuild that thing.
Yeah, but with the addition of Robinson and, you know, the Weatherspoon at the linebacker, now you got two young linebackers that are going to be together for a while. And like you say, you got Dante Robinson out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a couple of D-tackles. I mean,
there's two draft picks coming back, hopefully healthy. Last year, that got hurt.
And yeah, I really think we're going to be all right. I mean, and the key is, like I say, if Harry Douglas come back healthy. If he come back really healthy like he was, And then you got somebody now you can put at a punt returner and everything like that, too.
Yeah.
That boy
Harry Douglas
is
something in the slot,
man. Yeah. And I don't know who they're going to have kicking this year, but they need to get somebody in there that's going to kick the ball. That's the big key, man. I mean, Jason Edom lost the Carolina game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
When he missed that kick, then he came down, and the defense made a stop, and then Matt Ryan threw the interception. That was the ball game.
Right.
I mean, but the game was sealed if you make the kick.
True.
Now you
true.
Run the ball when you get the ball back. You run the ball, run the clock out. Game was sealed. You missed it. Missed two of them because he kept stutter-stepping, remember?
Yeah. It was a sad thing to see, kind of like, what's his name? Compared to the baseball, Chuck Knoblauch. It was like Elam had some type of mental thing going on.
Yeah, can't throw back to second base. He can't throw the first base.
Yeah.
But that happened to me, man. I mean, that happened to me. It was a felt novel. I mean, as a youngster. My last year in baseball, when we, you know, warming up for games, you know, I couldn't even throw the first base from second.
You had made a big mistake throwing over the first, and then after that you just couldn't get it over there?
I was on the junior varsity, and they brought a lot of the varsity, because our varsity was made up of ninth graders.
Mm-hmm.
So they could bring the ninth graders down and let them play JV too. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of them played.
Right.
So whenever I got my chances to go in there, and, you know, when we warming up, I just lost it. I don't know what happened, man.
Damn.
Just lost it.
All right, that's wild. See, And that brings me to the next thing, man. I hate to bring this up, man, because I didn't even want to talk about it, man, because I kind of talked about it a lot last week. But I guess that brings us to the boy Ron Artest, man, and the most interesting sports interviews ever seen, man. That boy gave after the championship.
I seen him on the PCI today, but I couldn't hear what he was saying. I was at the bowling alley. I couldn't even hear what he was saying. And it seemed like they talked to him for a good 5 minutes, too. And I wanted to hear everything he was saying. I didn't get a chance, man. is he crazy or what, man?
Man, Ron has a lot going on, man. But, I mean, for everything, to the shout-out to the sports psychologist who was working with him. And what else are you talking about? Kobe passed me the ball. He was so excited about Kobe throwing him the ball. Yeah, that boy Ron. And I still don't know how that happened, man. The Celtics lose the championship because Ron goddamn Artest stepped up. Gotta give
it. We talked about this last week. I talked about how can he lose what he had.
Yeah.
How can you lose what he had? I mean, in Indiana, he had the jump shot going. He could take people off the dribble. He was He was everything. Even last
post
year
up.
With
Yeah, wow. Yeah, the post-up game, everything. And then, like you said, just like we was talking about, it just went from sugar to shit.
And then,
it was just unexplainable.
Right, and then the thing about this is, game 6 and 7, he came back to what we normally see.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't even dribble down the court the other game.
Right.
All of a sudden, he taking people off the dribble, getting inside the lane, he hit knocking down the three-pointer, rebounding the ball, playing great defense.
And you can't knock Boston because you have to give him those shots. The way he was playing all those previous games, you had to give it to him. But he knocked him down.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying the Braves just scored that fifth run. Now they down 9-5, top of the ninth. So
they ruined the record. You predicted it, man. Well, you didn't have to say it, man.
Unless they come back and make a rally here, it looks like it's over with. So, but yeah,
the great
man.
Thing about teams like that, though, is they think they can come back. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah.
That belief.
The belief they're going to try. I know that.
Right.
But yeah, back to Ron Artest, man. It's just funny to see, man. I mean, you got the steal. what was that, game five? No, they won the tip and got the ball out to him. Then he had, like, he wanted to take the five stuff, taking it to the rack.
Yeah.
He's trying to
yeah.
get pumped. Like, he don't even know basketball. Get the 2 points. You know?
Right. Get the two and hope for the and one, but get the two first.
Yeah.
All day.
And then, man, they say he went to party in his uniform, right?
Yeah, man. Said he went out with the uniform on, man. Only Artest, man. the boy Phil Jackson put one of the most gangster moves ever seen. He actually, you know, went to a doctor to get his health checked out, then go to the parade. So parade for another championship he doesn't get. Just another ring. It's nothing big. Let me go over here to the doctor.
Yeah, it's not like they all they want to do is, you know, they didn't have, like, the podium where they talk and all that good stuff, so.
Right.
Like, I guess he was like, well, forget it. That's the first raid I was seeing like that, man. You know, you usually end it with, yeah, we're going to do this again next year, this and that.
Right, right. Because, I mean, because to be honest, hell, they're going for another three-peat, man. I mean, if Phil gets this
exactly.
other three-peat, all the detractors of Phil, like me, I mean, there's not much you could say, man. Another three-peat, that'll be, what, four three-peats?
Four three-peats.
There's nothing you can say to that, man.
Nothing you can say. And then what killed me was, and then something I thought about today, like, I mean, to me, this Lakers team really ain't that great.
Nah,
you know
they're not
saying?
That great. But once if you got an all-time great on your team, though, that already gives you a chance. So it's all about
right.
how your
so
other pieces
to,
are.
I actually think about it. You know what I'm saying? I actually thought about it. I was like, well, the Chicago Bulls weren't that great of a team either.
Right. 1 through 12? No, not at all.
They were.
Bobby Anson and Judd Bushler and Randy Brown and Bill Winnie. They had some guys, man, who would have trouble making other rosters.
I'm saying Luke Longley. You got Luke Longley playing, Bill Cartwright.
Yeah,
Hodges, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these guys, they weren't garbage, but it was like, I mean, now you can understand, okay, you got the Vujicic, you got the Shannon Browns, you got the, you know.
Luke Walton.
The Luke Waltons, and, but you got, I mean.
Your man over there in the suit, Adam Morrison over there in the suit.
Yeah, you got Adam Morrison in the suit. I mean, it's like, this team really not that, but you got Kobe. You got somebody like Fisher who steps up in big time games. You got
a second option in Gasol, and you
got a real good second
option. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what makes you a championship team. The first thing is that Hall of Famer, man. When everybody talks about, you know, their team is a contender and all this other stuff, if you don't have a Hall of Famer on your team, you're not really a contender. The only team to buck that was that Detroit Pistons team. And I would say the Lakers fighting probably helped them more than anything in winning that title. That was Kobe and Shaq's last little dance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got to have that Hall of Fame guy on your team. Not All-Star, not Joe Johnson, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, to win it all like that and then do it again back-to-back. Because, like you said, if the Celtics would have won, you going to look at it like they got a pretty great team. You know, if
right.
you looked at it, you like, well, you got Rasheed coming out the bench, Big Baby stepping up, you got Rondo playing, and then you got the Big Three.
Right.
That's a team, you know. So
yeah.
you look at it like that, like, okay, yeah, they won the championship because they got a good team. They got a better team than the Lakers, but that's not how it happened.
Yeah, and you got to ask, what the hell are they going to do? That, you know, they don't know which way Doc is going to go. Ray Allen, you don't know if you're going to re-sign him. So you don't know if you're going to blow this thing up or try to keep it moving.
Well, I'm hoping I'm hoping Doc Tank is going to take his year. And, you know.
In case old boy don't work out.
In case
Atlanta.
He don't work out, yeah, you know, come on home, you know.
I hear that, bro. I hear that.
If that don't work out, then come on home, you know?
I hear that one, man. You got your man in the office helping out a little bit, Neek. Why not bring Doc on?
Why not?
Yeah, I'd love to see that one, man. Phil Jackson, you know, he got the speculation with the owner. I guess his price tag this year was $12 million. And they're trying to decide whether, you know, they're going to raise the stakes on that or bring in another coach. Can you even bring in another coach in this situation?
Well, Brian Shaw?
Yeah, I guess that's who, yeah, that would be the leading guy.
They were thinking Byron Scott, but he don't run the triangle.
Right. Right. It'd be stupid to change the system when you just won back-to-back titles.
Exactly, so.
Yeah, that's an interesting one there.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I pretty much can guarantee he'll be back.
Yeah, cut the check, Jerry Buss.
Yeah,
make it
I
happen.
He'll be back.
I'm going to tell you, that boy Phil, though, man, Phil is a guy who, you know, a lot of people say whatever about Phil. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Phil fan. But that dude in Chicago, he stood his ground when they didn't want to give him another contract. And he said, well, hell, I'll let this thing go fall apart then. And you've seen the pieces fall. MJ and Pip left, and that was that.
Yeah.
They walked away after the championship.
Yeah. Walked
so,
away.
So let's get on to the NFL, man, before we get out of here. I know you're not a fan of this guy, being A-Town's number one fan. Steve Smith breaks his arm playing flag football the other day. Your thoughts on it?
Well, it sounded like a Steve Smith, something he would do.
Right.
I mean, you know, playing in the rec league.
And the other part of that is, did Steve Smith punch this dude in the jaw? I mean, hell, we've heard the incidents over years with different cornerbacks who he had to swing
on. He's a hothead, man. It looks like he likes to talk a lot, and it seemed like that was what the problem was.
Yeah. Oh, Carolina's got trouble, man. They don't know about the quarterback situation. And now their only real receiving threat has a broken arm. So might be able to scratch one off the list for ATL, man, in that division.
Yeah, if he don't get healthy, I think he'll be back. I mean, he has he really had one of those games where you say, well, wow, Steve Smith against the Falcons like that. He never really had a – he probably maybe had a couple hundred-yard game, but never been like, man. Well, one game. I won't say it was this past year. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
You know, the year before. The Falcons won, but he was having one of them games where, like, well, how does this guy keep getting open? You know what I'm saying? One of them, and he only had one against the Falcons. I can remember that one. But other than that, I really don't see him where he had games where he just really hurt
us. He's always been a factor, but he ain't had no monster games against us. But I might say that was more, I'm going to call him Jack DeLome than it was Steve Smith or the Falcons defenders.
Yeah. DeLome. Even he said it, you know. I really don't like you as a quarterback. I like you as a person. Yeah, Steve Smith told him that, so, you know.
Those are true words right there to the man.
Yeah, that was hard as you can get on the sideline.
The hell. That's bringing it to him. Jerry Rice's jersey is going to be retired, that number 80 out there in San Fran. I would say about time.
Yeah, I wonder what they waiting on. I mean, ain't he already in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
Or he going in this year?
I'm not sure. I might be confusing him with somebody else.
I think he went in last year, right? Or he's going to go in this year.
Yeah, it's not last year. It's going to happen this year, so.
Yeah, then he already had his homecoming, you know, with Rick Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. But the great Jerry Rice is going in there, so. That's going down. This Haynesworth situation, I guess we got to talk about that. Your man Barzy had some of the best commentary I've heard about it. He basically said, point blank, you took their money, you either play or you give their money back. And if you give their money back, you're an idiot because you'll never see that kind of money again after this fiasco. So.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that guy, man. But the thing about it is, he's going to come out world beating this year.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I really think so.
He got the talent to do it. That's why he got
the
contract.
Talent to do it, yeah.
Yeah. That whole I'm not going to play nose tackle thing, I don't know how well that's going to play. But then why not politic and say, look, I want to play some DN too? He go and talk to Shanahan about that without all this other nonsense. I'm sure Shanahan would have been open to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea about that one, man. Is there anything you wanted to get into, man? I missed a lot of stories today.
Not really. I just really want to see what this draft going to be like. But like I said, for the first 5-6 picks, I don't know. I'm going to be lost, you know.
Yeah, that first five, the first two seem like they're set in stone, and everything else is a matter of preference, like whether you like Wesley Johnson that much or Favors or the boy Cousins. That's one team is going to determine how everybody else falls, and that's New Jersey. So we're going to see how that goes. But with Atlanta, I mean, anticipating the Joe Johnson getting out of Dodge, you think we're going after a big two guard with that late first rounder?
Like who?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different guys out there. There's Jordan Crawford. There's the boy from Cincinnati. Who I can't think of his name right now. There's the boy from Cincinnati. There's a lot of different ways we could go with that.
Yeah, if they get somebody who and he comes in and produces, it's gonna be somebody that we don't expect to produce. That's the thing about that. You know, you're going to get somebody who can say, well, okay, he's going to bring him in. He's not going to start. You know that.
Right.
So.
If Joe's gone, that's Jamal Crawford.
Exactly.
he's earned that. I'm bringing up the list now, man. So I can get a feel.
Yeah, he earned that spot, so.
Yeah, Patrick Patterson might be there. Gordon Hayward could actually be there because he's been dropping around some people.
I thought they said that he helped himself.
Yeah, he did, but it seems like people are looking at him like he's going to have to play the two and the three. So that kind of changes things. It looks like he won't be able to play the post. The guy I don't want is the guy James Anderson from Oklahoma State. I really don't like his game too much, but. Lance Stevenson's out there. Who knows? Even Eric Bledsoe, Jordan Crawford, if Bledsoe would fall. But, yeah, there's a lot of different ways we could go, I guess.
I don't think Bledsoe will fall that far.
Nah, I think Bledsoe is going to be slipping to the top 10 after it's all said and done. But that was hope. And would you want a point guard just in case we don't Teague doesn't work out?
If that's the case, then you got to make a play for Chris Paul. I mean, why would you go with another point guard? Now you got a roster full of point guards. Yeah, Jamal Crawford, What's up, Bibby?
Yeah, but from what it look, if we lose Joe, Crawford's gonna have to play the two all year.
Yeah,
but like I said, I'm just saying that if somebody wasn't as high on Teague, I don't know how management feels about Teague, so it's definitely something we're gonna have to see. But yeah, this is speaking like you think it. We just throwing stories up, man. See what'll stick, man. Nothing real urgent right now. So, yeah, Eastside, I mean, pretty much I have nothing else on the plate, man. So
yeah, I mean, it's really not much going on. I mean, it's kind of quiet after the season ended or whatnot, the basketball season, which was a heavy part of what was going on, man. You had a lot of guys, Boston came out of nowhere, make this run, and right now it's really just seeing what everybody's going to do. Rashid retired, when they say.
Yeah.
You think he was standing around for the refs to see, just to tell them, I'm retiring, or what you think he wanted to say?
He going to have some words for them before he get out of there, boy. That dude, he had a career, man, especially when it comes to, just looking at his reaction with the officials, man. All the ejections, all the technicals, fines, and everything else. I also wanted to say rest in peace to the great Manu Bol, man. Yeah, Manu Bol passed.
Yeah,
let me see.
Yeah, Manu Bol.
Man, sad thing to see, man. Dude's doing a lot of charity work.
Yeah, when they come from over there, they do a lot of charity work, him and Dikembe and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and the last little rumor I wanted to get out before we get out, man. Now, I just remembered this one. Trace McGrady has interest in signing with the Lakers.
Good move.
Yeah.
A good move.
I guess that's what
move.
It's come to.
You see what I'm saying, though? I mean, you got to have – I mean, Jordan and Ron Harper play together,
Right. After Harper got injured and wasn't the same player, yeah, he went out there and won championships, and I guess that's what McGrady's leaning towards now.
You do McGrady – when you put McGrady out there, especially if he comes off the bench, Ron Artest, when you need scoring, and you got Kobe and McGrady, that'd be nice. I mean, I kind of was thinking, earlier, when he first came back and how he looked when he first came back, the Hawks might need to take a look at him.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I think about what you said when we first got on. I think the Lakers are going to reload and really try to get this three-peat again.
Yeah, I mean, the three-peat, but I'm talking about down the line. I mean, that's what I was saying when I said I wouldn't even be surprised if they get John Wall. Cause, I mean, you look at Kobe probably got a good 3 to 4 more runs in him. And then it's really pretty much over with. For real,
right.
Seriously, it's over with. Like, right now, he's really not like what everybody was thinking. Yeah, he done lost it, this and that. Nah, he still got it. He's going to have it for another year or two at this level.
Yeah.
And after that, that's why I was saying I wouldn't even, he's going to have somebody to pass it on to. I don't think the Lakers just going to. They got to have the Lakers in the mix. If you look at it, man, in the history of the NBA, man, everybody beat the Lakers to win their championship. The Lakers don't want a lot, but they've been there a lot. Like, Julius Erving, he won his championship against the Lakers. Jordan won his first one against the Lakers. The Pistons back in the day, the Lakers, the new Pistons, they beat the Lakers. Everybody beat the Lakers to win. Everybody beat the Lakers to win. That's the whole thing. You beat the Lakers to win. If you're going to win in the East, you beat the Lakers.
The only difference I would say is I would have a lot more faith in that boy Jerry West answering the phone back then than I would Mitch Kupchak answering that phone now. So I don't know if he can kind of outmaneuver everybody the way West was able to. I mean, West was – he was putting the boot to the other GMs in the league, man. He always came up with a plan to start everything over and be contenders.
Yeah, I mean, you see how he sent him the call.
And he won't admit to that, man. He won't admit to
that. He just sent it straight to him like the Hawks don't need a center. He could have got better pieces from the Hawks.
I talked to – Neil Barzi talked about this last week because he was on NBA – the NBA Network, NBA TV, for one of the finals games, and he actually said – and I don't know why Memphis sent Gasol to L.A. You know, they should have looked around for, you know, for better deals. I was shocked. I said, man, this dude really get on here and say this? Like he didn't have anything to do with it?
Like he had nothing to do with it. That's crazy, man. But that's, like I say, that's the league, man. And we could have told you it was going seven before it even started. It's like, I don't know. I mean, I can't say the league set up, man, because it's hard. You know, if you off, you know.
Hey, man, like I said before, I don't disagree with you. I don't think they do things to make certain series or whatever, but I do think they do things to extend the series, whether it's a road loss or a home loss, to make something go a little longer. I think they do that. I wouldn't argue with that one, man.
It just seems funny, man, the way things work out. You know, you had Orlando and the Lakers last year, like, oh, okay, whatever. Now this year, the big buzz. You got the Lakers and the Celtics. You got this and this. This is what it's all about. This is the best ever. You know, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's hard to look at the Lakers, Celtics, Yankees and these other teams' success and all, you know, all the major leagues and major sports and say that there's not a little bit of, you know, a little bit of help given.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, though, I mean, that if naturally this team is good, it's going to make noise and it's going to get you talked about. And you got to make it, you got to have them in there.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Lakers. I mean, you got the Yankees in there. Gonna be talked about because you got the
right.
Yankees, and then if the Red Sox good too, oh, you got something to talk about. They already talking about moving them out of that league, out the same division or whatever.
To make sure they can get them both in there every time, huh?
Or moving other teams out, you know, to give other teams a chance. You know, Tampa Bay is a good team, so if you move them into another division that's not in there with the Yankees and Red Sox, now they got a chance to actually compete.
Yeah,
you know?
True. And I always thought that was weird that they're there anyway, though, just going off of Tampa Bay, New York, Boston.
Well, it's all the East.
Yeah, but they're... I don't know. They just seem so far away.
I mean, you got Atlanta, the Mets, and the Florida Marlins. You got, I mean, that's in the least. You know, they're all right there, Washington.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, it's kind of like the same, but you got Baltimore and Toronto, and if you move Tampa Bay, you know, they're going to want to get out of there, too.
Right.
Well, that's the whole thing about that, man. You know, that's the crazy because, you know, it's so top heavy, man. You know, your baseball is top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it, and I was thinking about this the other day, too. When did the Braves won their championship in 95? You know, in 95 is when the Yankees finally got back in the World Series. No, they finally got back in the playoffs. Don Mattingly hadn't even been to the playoffs. His
Damn.
Whole career until that year.
Damn. So they went that long of a stretch of being, I guess, ordinary.
And when was the strike? 94. Now you got the Braves good, the Yankees good again. Now here come the Red Sox. Now here come that's major league money, man.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's definitely interesting. Things definitely changed after that.
Yeah, everything started changing after that, you know. Because before that, you had Toronto winning championships. You had teams like that, Toronto, Minnesota winning championships in baseball. You're not really.
And wasn't that Expos team looking like the clear front runner the strike season?
I think so. Well, that was the year, I was just talking about when Ken Griffey Jr. had the 30 home run in June.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even really get to finish that season, strike shortened season.
Right.
But ain't no telling how many he would have had.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something to think about. The Yankees about to get right back in it. And they go on a roll. Now you got all these so-called Yankee fans. Now, they ain't won that in the so long. Just like these Boston fans. You come out of these guys say they Boston fans. Before they won 2008, they had won 22 years.
Right. You see these B hats everywhere.
Now you Boston fans. Like, come on, man. Be real about it.
Hey, but I tell you what's worse is the Celtics situation, because you had all these people pulling for the Celtics, but it was mainly because they were playing the Lakers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
These won't be Celtics fans next year.
Yeah, everybody beat the Lakers, though, like I say.
Yeah. That's an interesting situation, man. But, yeah, this is just speak it like you think it, man. We're going to get up out of here. Was joined today by Eastside Jam. We just threw topics around, man. And, this is what we do, man. Be here every Tuesday, man. Eastside, any part words?
Nah, man, we'll get together next week, man. We'll talk about some, the draft and what's going on this week. See if anybody show up for OTAs and make anything happen.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. Speak it like you think it. Thanks for coming on, man.
No problem, man. Take it easy.
You too, mate.
All right, now.